very special guest on the program with us, a lady by the name of Rose Marie, who has been entertaining millions for quite some time now. Most people remember her from the role she had on The Dick Van Dyke Show, classic sitcom in the 60s. And she also spent about 14 years on Hollywood Squares. She has written her autobiography. The book is called Hold the Roses. It's published by University of Kentucky Press. And Rose Marie joins us on the line right now, all the way from California. Hello, Rose. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for being on the program with us this evening.
What an honor.
You have, as I mentioned, you've written your autobiography, Hold the Roses. Why now? Why have you decided to do it now?
Well, I don't know. Everybody was asking about it and saying I should because, you know, everybody knows me from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a whole career before the Dick Van Dyke Show, and I have a whole career after the Dick Van Dyke Show. The Dick Van Dyke Show happened to be one of the highlights of my life. But I was known as Baby Rose Marie. I played Montreal many times.
Really?
I love it up there.
You started when you were 3 years old.
That's right.
How did you get into show business? I'm assuming your parents were into show business.
No, they weren't.
No?
No, my mother took me to all the theaters in New York. I was born in New York and took me to all the shows, the vaudeville shows, and I used to come home and imitate everybody that I saw, and I used to, we lived in a railroad flat in the Lower East Side, and I used to go upstairs and sing for the other people up there and entertain them, and they were the ones that entered me in an amateur contest, and my mother was petrified because she said, I don't know whether she'll sing in front of anybody else. The phenomenal thing about the whole situation was that I sounded then like I do now. I never sounded like a child. I was not the Shirley Temple on the Good Ship Lollipop type.
Mm-hmm.
I always had a husky voice and always sang like Sophie Tucker, you know. And so anyway, they entered me in the contest. My mother was petrified. And I sang. Now you can imagine a three-year-old singing, What Can I Say, Dear, After I Say I'm Sorry, and sounding like a 40-year-old woman. And naturally, I won the contest. And I ran into the wings after it was over, and somebody threw a bouquet of red roses in one arm, and somebody threw a bouquet of red roses in the other arm, and the audience was going, bring the kid back, we want the kid back, bring her back, let her sing, you know. And I threw down the roses, and I said, hold the roses, I can't take my bow. And that's where the title of the book comes in.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, it's one thing to know that you have a singing voice at a very young age, either you have it or you haven't, but one thing that you're also known for, I guess because of the Dick Van Dyke Show as well, and Hollywood Squares, is you've got a great sense of humor.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, when did you figure out that you had developed that, or when did someone else realize you developed that?
I don't know. I guess I always had that. My mother had a great sense of humor, and she was just wonderful. she loved a good time. She loved to go out and enjoy. I really think that she wanted to be in show business, and I think it all came out in me, and she got the pleasure out of me being in show business. Because when I was 5 years old, NBC in New York had heard about this phenomenal child, because I was in Atlantic City singing in different clubs and things. Because in those days, clubs were like dinner theaters, and people used to bring their children, and they could go have dinner and watch a show, and it was a comic and a singer and a line of girls where you could bring children. And I used to play some of these places in Atlantic City when I was 5 years old. And people from NBC had heard about this phenomenal child and called me, and I was signed to NBC for 7 years. Their roster of entertainers was Graham McNamee, Rudy Valley, Amos and Andy, Leo Reisman, Vincent Lopez, and myself. That was their entertainment. And I had my own radio show, Coast to Coast, when I was 6 years old.
That's very, very impressive. Your parents must have been extremely proud to see your success.
Oh, of course. It was an unbelievable thing because the radio show was a 15-minute program on Sunday mornings from 12 to 12:15 with a piano player, an announcer, and myself. And to me, this is the funniest part of all. I had a sponsor called Julius Grossman Shoes, which is still on Fifth Avenue in New York, by the way.
Okay.
But the funny part of it was the show was coast to coast, and they only had one store in New York.
Really?
They never understood that.
Now,
But people wrote in and said, that's not a child, that's a 45-year-old midget. No child sings like that. And so NBC was affiliated with RKO at the time, and I had to make a cross-country tour of all the theaters, which was sort of like the last part of vaudeville, and play all these theaters to prove I was a child. And there were many instances, which makes the book very interesting. My father was arrested 158 times in Cleveland because of a child labor law, and they worked out an agreement where I would do this show, then they'd arrest my father, they'd let him go, and I'd do the second show, they'd arrest my father, and I'd go and do the third show, and they'd arrest my father, and other places, the money that came into the theater was donated to children's orphanages and things like that. It was a phenomenal thing at the time.
We are talking with Rose Marie. She is the author of her autobiography, Hold the Roses, which is published by University of Kentucky Press, as we talk about her amazing career, her Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800. I've had the opportunity to talk to people in the past who have been child stars and who grew up in show business. Some of them are in the camp that they regret what they did, that they didn't enjoy it, and others loved it.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I had a very, very wonderful childhood. My mother saw to that. I traveled all over the country. Do you realize what an education I got? Instead of writing about it or reading about it in a book, I was there. I signed in the Alamo book when I was 7 years old. The Alamo guest book.
Right.
And I went to school, of course. I went to professional children's school. But the education I got on the road, being in all these famous places, was priceless. And my mother kept me, I hate the word normal, but she kept me as normal as could possibly be. I had to still make up my room. I still had to wash the floor on Saturday night and things like that. And the friends that I had then, I still have.
It's very impressive.
It's just me.
Because, you know, the Hollywood landscape, as I'm sure you're aware of, are littered with the wreckage of human lives that have been destroyed here, there, and along the way.
Yeah, but see, I think now, you know, I know who you're going to mention and all that. Now, first of all, I have become very friendly with Margaret O'Brien. Do you remember her?
Yes.
We are very friendly. She's a very normal, happy lady. We just had a birthday yesterday, went to a birthday party, and she was brought up the same way. And so she has no regrets either. There are child stars that, I always say this, if you didn't want to do it, you wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, Judy Garland is a very good example. I knew Judy very well. And Judy wanted everything that she got. She was, she went crazy, you know. She wanted this and she wanted that, and she blames everybody for her unhappiness. And it was her own fault. She didn't have to. If she didn't want to work, she didn't have to. All she had to say was, I'm not going to do it.
Well, I guess sometimes the fame and the glamour is a drug that some people can't resist.
Well, I don't know. I was married to a musician by the name of Bobby Guy, who was with Kay Kaiser's orchestra, and I met him when he was in the Army. We were married 20 years before he died, and he died of a blood infection in 1964. I have never remarried. I have one daughter who I am very, very proud of. She's a producer, and she is married to a very nice boy that I love almost like a son, who is a news director at NBC. I think it's all in the bringing up. I really do. I say that in my book, and I say that to people. I'm very proud of the way I was brought up, and I'm very proud of the life I've led, you know?
Right. We are talking with Rose Marie, who is one of the stars, of course, of the Dick Van Dyke Show, and she was also on Hollywood Squares. She's written her autobiography. The book is called Hold the Roses. It's published by University of Kentucky Press.
By the way, there's a book out that Peter Marshall just brought out.
We had
backstage with the Hollywood Squares.
We had Peter on the program just a couple of months ago.
Well,
just
that book is out, and I'm in that book almost more than I am my own book. Because I started with them from the very beginning and went for 14 years.
That's amazing. I want to talk about Hollywood Squares and also the Dick Van Dyke Show in just a moment. 7900991 is the number to call. Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD if you'd like to speak to Rose Marie. Lines free if you want to call in. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Halder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991. Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Halder here with you on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800. That, of course, is the theme song to the television show, The Dick Van Dyke Show, which, by the way, if you have digital cable, is coming back on TV starting Monday on Deja Vu right here in Canada. So you can catch that show again for those who missed watching that classic television show. Rose Marie, of course, was part of that show, and she has her autobiography out. It's called Hold the Roses. It's published by University of Kentucky Press. And, you know, Rose, one of the things that's so interesting about that show, people talk about the breakthroughs and the strides that women made in roles in television. They talk about, of course, Mary Tyler Moore, who...
I was the one that started that.
Exactly. Well, not only did you start it, I mean, there were other women in television shows like Our Miss Brooks, but they were in traditional female roles. She was a teacher.
Yes, mine was what, I guess what they used to call, or maybe still call, women's lib.
Yeah.
I worked with the guys on an equal level.
Mm-hmm.
I made the same money. I was treated as one of the boys, you know, working in the office. So it was a breakthrough for women's lib. I was the first one.
Now, I read somewhere that Sylvia Miles was supposed to be in the pilot.
She did. Carl Reiner made a pilot. See, Carl Reiner wrote 13 scripts, and he had Sylvia Miles playing my part, and he had Marty Brill, I think, for Maury Amsterdam's part, and I forgot who the girl was. She was a very pretty girl, very nice actress. And we saw the pilot, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing like our show, you know. But he went to Sheldon Leonard. This is the story of the Van Dyke Show. He went to Sheldon Leonard, who was the producer with Danny Thomas. And Sheldon loved the idea, loved the show, but said that Carl wasn't right for the part, which hurt his feelings, of course. But he said, why don't you produce it? So he said, we'll go and get somebody else. So Sheldon went to New York and saw Bye Bye Birdie and saw Dick Van Dyke and went backstage and said, would you like to do a television show? And that's how the Dick Van Dyke Show got going. I knew Danny Thomas from the time, he came to New York from Chicago. In fact, I opened for him. See, I used to do a nightclub. I traveled all over the country. I played the Chez Prix in Chicago. That's when I played Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the Copacabana, and I played all the Palmer House in Chicago, all the big places. I had a wonderful nightclub act and was known as one of the top nightclub performers. So when he opened into Martinique in New York, I worked with him, and we became very good friends. And I always, when he came out here, I got married. I came out here to California. Because this was all happened in New York. I came out here to California, and California never knows what New York is doing, or vice versa. So they asked me to play a place called Slapsy Maxie's, which was a big nightclub here. and I played there, and they suddenly discovered Rose Marie. So then I went to Vegas. That's also in the book, which I won't go into now, but I worked for Bugsy Siegel at the Flamingo. I opened the Flamingo with Jimmy Durante and Xavier Cugat.
Right.
So while I was here in California, I was doing a lot of guest shots. I was doing a Heinz Playhouse. I was doing Suspense. I was doing David Cross. I was doing all the big shows as an actress. And I got a call saying, go to Desi Lu. They want you for a show. And I thought, oh, thank God, I'm going to do Danny Thomas's Make Room for Daddy. Because every time I'd see him, I'd say, when am I going to do your show? When am I going to do your show? And he'd say, your time will come. Don't worry. So I thought I was going down for a guest shot on Make Room for Daddy. And the casting lady said, no, this is for a new show called The Dick Van Dyke Show. And I said, what's a Dick Van Dyke? And she said, just go down there. So I went down there and I met Carl Reiner. And Sheldon Leonard, bless his heart, he said, I told Carl if he wanted the best to call you. So I didn't read. I didn't do anything. I was just signed there immediately. I was the second one signed for the show. I said, who have you got for the third writer? They said, we haven't picked him yet. I said, what about Maury Amsterdam? He used to be a writer. He used to write for Fanny Bryce and Fred Allen and Milton Berle. I said, and then he became a comic. I said, he knows every joke in the book, and he wrote every joke in the book, practically. So they said, do you know where we can get in touch with him? Well, I've known Maury since I've been 11 years old. Maury used to write material for my act. So I called him up when I got home, and I said, they're going to call you about a new show called The Dick Van Dyke Show. And he said, what's a Dick Van Dyke? And I said, just get out of here. So he came out. They talked to him. He said, I'm doing the show. I'm going back to New York to pack. I'll see you Monday. And that's how he got the job. And that's how The Dick Van Dyke Show started.
And it went on for 5 years.
5 years.
Did you think it would have the kind of success that it did have?
Well, we knew it was good. But we didn't know it was going to become a classic. In fact, there's a big celebration here, March the 2nd. It's going to be the first show to be called a legend. And it's going to a Hall of Fame.
Excellent.
The show has never been off the air here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
It has been on TV Land and Nick at Night. Ever since it went off the network. So it's never been off the air. I am on the air here 6 times a day between the Dick Van Dyke Show and Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares and the Game Show Network, yeah.
And all the other shows that I did. Now, I did 3 years with Doris Day. Nobody remembers that.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do? Bless you.
Yes, I do.
And then I did, I did about 5 or 6 series. And I did a lot of guest shots. In fact, I did Suddenly Susan, Caroline in the City, and I just did a new show called Andy Richter or something that just
Andy
started.
Andy Richter Saves the Universe, yeah.
Yeah, I did that. That was on last week. I didn't even see it, but they told me it was on last week.
Hey, you played, Myrna Gibbons on... the Doris Day Show.
That's right.
Yeah. Hold that thought. Do we have people on the line who want to speak to you? We're talking with Rose Marie. The book is called Hold the Roses. It's published by University of Kentucky Press. We'll continue with Rose Marie on the other side of the news. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Holder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We are talking with Rose Marie. She has her autobiography, which is now out. It's called Hold the Roses. It's published by University of Kentucky Press. And if you'd like to speak to one of the stars of The Dick Van Dyke Show and also Hollywood Squares, the number to call, 790-0991, Star Talk, and 1-800-491-CJD.
What is the temperature there?
Right now, the temperature, you heard him say it was -9 degrees, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's Celsius.
Uh-huh.
To you, it's 16 degrees Fahrenheit. That's what
it
is.
Oh, my.
Still cold.
Oh, my. And what time is it there?
It's 12:33.
Midnight?
After midnight, that's right.
So we're 3 hours different.
That's right.
I see.
Okay. Jim, hi. And Jim and NDG, you're on CJD with Rose Marie. Hello, Jim, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Rose Marie, over the years, I've watched the Dick Van Dyke Show. Did you always get along with Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore on the show?
We were like a family. It was, it was a very wonderful, wonderful chemistry of people. And everybody looked forward to going to work every day, which you can't say too much about a lot of shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We had a wonderful time. We were a very, very happy group, and everybody liked everybody else. And that's not just, I'm not just trying to be nice. I'm telling you the truth.
I used to watch that on the CBS.
Yeah, that's right.
Monday or Tuesday in the evenings.
I think it was Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was one episode that really was great. When Mary Tyler Moore, of course, she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And, well, those days, they slept in single beds, eh?
Yeah.
Well,
that's
Mary
the hard
was pregnant,
way.
And Dick was on the other side, all dressed up, ready, just in case he had to go.
That's right. That was one of the best shows we did.
One of the best episodes that I can remember on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's very difficult sleeping in separate beds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, not like today, you know.
Not like today at all.
All shows today, a lot of memories anyway.
Well, thank you so much. It's very nice of you to call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care, Jim.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye. 7900-991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. You guys worked a longer year, too, didn't you? Didn't you do like 39 episodes?
That's right.
39 episodes per year?
That's right. And 13 were off for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But we did 39. We did 162 shows.
Wow.
And honestly, without trying to sound mushy, it was a very happy group. And everybody liked everybody. Everybody worked with everybody. Everybody cared about everybody. My husband died the last year of the show, and I wanted to quit. I didn't want to go back to work. And the director came to my house at 8 o'clock one night and told me, he said, "You can't leave the show. You have to finish the show. He says, what are you going to do if you don't do this?" I said, "I don't know," because I was devastated by my husband's death. He had an overpowering blood infection, and I don't think to this day they know why he got it or how he got it. He was a very healthy man.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a shock. And I had a daughter to bring up. And I couldn't see myself going into the studio and trying to be funny when I had all this problems on my mind. And he was in my house from 8 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning. Finally, my mother came out and said, "Don't you think you ought to go home by now?" And John Rich was the director, by the way, one of the best comedy directors in our business. He said to me, "Have I convinced you to go back to the show?" And I said, "Yes, I guess so." He said, "Then I've done my job. Good night." And he left.
What was it like when the show actually did come to an end after
the
5th year?
Oh, God. Oh, sorrow, tears. It was just, Mary was going around saying, "This is the last time I'll close this door. This is the last time I'll do this. This is the last time Rosie's going to do that." And Maury would say, "Well, come on, let's, you know, have some fun." And nobody could have any fun. Everything was very low-key and very, nobody wanted it to quit. I think Dick wanted to quit because he thought that we were dried out after 5 years, which is not true because we had never done a show in color. We could have stayed on the air another 2 years just in color.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a mistake. I think we could have done another 2 years.
We're talking with Rose Marie here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. The book is called Hold the Roses. It is published by University of Kentucky Press. We go to Bruno. Hi, you're on CJD.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Rose Marie.
Hi, Bruno.
I just want to say that Dick Van Dyke was one of my favorite shows, and you made me laugh many a times.
Oh,
you were really
bless
funny,
you.
I'm telling you, you were really funny.
I got news, he was my favorite show, too.
Yeah, I'm sure, I'm telling you. There was one show that really made me laugh a lot. There was when Dick Van Dyke had to stay awake for like a telethon there. Like,
oh, yeah,
remember
yeah,
that
yeah,
one?
Yeah.
That was so hilarious. Which one was your favorite one, Rosemary?
Pardon me?
Which one was your favorite episode?
The one where it was my birthday party.
Yeah, I remember. That was a good one.
And the guy didn't show up?
Okay, yeah.
And when he finally showed up, he was an insurance man trying to sell me insurance.
yeah.
And that was one of my favorite shows. And another one was where Mary said to Dick, you all treat her like a fella. You don't treat her like a woman. She's a woman. And Dick started being very nice to me and taking me out to lunch. And everybody thought there was a romance going on. And yeah, everybody got frightened that I was breaking up the marriage. That was another one of my favorite shows.
That was a very good one. You know, I want to tell you something. I mean, you're a very talented woman. Did anybody ever approach you for, like a sitcom of your own?
No, not really. I've been doing a lot of guest shots on different shows.
Because
I'm very happy doing those. And I've made some movies. I mean, nothing that the Academy is going to put up for an Oscar, but I made some movies. And no, not really. Maury passed away a couple of years ago, and I think they were talking about us doing a series together, and then he got sick and passed away.
Well, that's too bad, because you guys were really a great team.
Yeah, we had a wonderful, wonderful time.
And I want to wish you best of luck on your new book. I know I'm going to buy it and going to read it.
Oh, thank you. And, I think you'll enjoy it. I've been told that it's very easy to read, that it's funny, it's interesting, and it's the history of show business.
I have a good intuition, and this book is gonna do well, because it's kind of interesting. You know, like you started very, very young. You were one of the first young child stars, you know. So you must have a lot of interesting things.
You'll find a lot of interesting books in there. You'll find the part there where Al Capone in Chicago called me up, and while I was working in Chicago, and invited me over his house, and I had dinner there. So that's pretty interesting.
Like I said, it sounds like a very interesting book. And as you said that, I'm going to go buy it tomorrow.
Oh, bless you.
So
I hope you enjoy it.
I will. So, like, take care of yourself, and hope to hear from you again on the radio.
Thank you.
Okay? Thanks
for the call, Bruno.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye, Rosemary.
We're talking
bye-bye.
To
that night.
We're talking to Rosemary here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. You know, after working all those years on such a classic television show like Dick Van Dyke, can you actually sit down and watch an episode like a fan? Or do
yes.
you think about, oh, that's the show where we did this backstage, or that's
no.
the fun time we had there?
No, I sit down and I laugh just as hard. I laugh just as hard. It is done so brilliantly. The writing was so good. The chemistry between the people is so good. And there was nothing dirty or sexy or anything like that in the shows. But we hit on topics that were rare, that nobody even thought about. You know, there was one show that we did where you've never seen the show.
Oh, I've seen the show.
Oh, you have?
Oh, all of them. My favorite one is the one with the walnuts.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the show where they thought they had the wrong baby?
Yes.
And then, oh, dear, he passed away, too. Used to be on another show. And he was black, and he came in. The scream on that show when they walked in was at least 2 minutes long. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
And then the other one was where he played golf with a priest and didn't know he was a priest, and knew that he knew Laura years ago, and she wanted to find out about it, so she invited him over to the house for dinner. And Dick was furious and said to me, I want you to come over to the house for dinner tonight. And I said, I'm not taking her drop-offs. You know, what is this? You're inviting me for dinner. He said, I want you to come to dinner. So I said, okay. And when he walked in and found out that he was a priest, he said to her, I invited Sally to come to dinner. And she went, oh, God, you know. And I come bursting in, and I keep saying, okay, where's this tall, dark, handsome priest you wanted me to meet? That's another one of my favorite shows.
You say you laughed just as hard watching the show today as you did when they were first
yeah.
on the air. What was it like doing one of the table reads when you were sitting around reading the script before you actually shot it?
Well, I'm telling you, they should have made that into a show, because that was tremendous. We'd sit around, we'd read next week's script, and make comments about it, and then we'd read this week's script that we were going to do, which we read last week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
We say, oh, page four is not good, and Sheldon Leonard would oversee everything and say, I don't think Dick should say that. Give that line to Maury. Let Rosemary come in and do this and do that. And then we put that script away, and then we'd read this script, this week's script, which had all the changes in it. And if there was a joke in there that everybody, oh, gee, that's not too funny, Maury inevitably would say, I'll write a better joke. Don't worry about it. And we had a script girl that was unbelievable because, do you remember the Aunt Agnes things I used to do?
Mm-hmm.
Where the sun isn't always shining just because there are sparrows. Well,
yes.
Every time there was one written in the script, Carl would say, we got to get a better one than that. And by the time he would think of one, he had the kid going to the toilet or something. I mean, he went crazy trying to find different things. He would say this, Maury would say one, I would say one. Everybody would say, how about a spider? Show me a spider and I'll show you a crooked eye or something like that. And finally, when we decide on one, Marge Mullen was the script girl. She'd say, I got it. And then she'd take all the other ones that we talked about and put them in back of the book, marked SOS, some other show. I mean, it was a working group of people, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Right.
You know?
A well-oiled machine.
You bet.
Yeah. We're talking with Rosemary here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Al in NDG. Hi, you're on CJD.
Hi, good morning, Peter, and good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
A thing I'd like to ask you about the show, the Dick Van Dyke. Did you guys ever just make up different scripts, like made a mistake, and then after you said, oh, this went on, and you just did it?
Well, we had one show. Sheldon Leonard was the producer, and Sheldon's last words were it. He was the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Carl had things to say, and we all had things to say, but everything really had to go past Sheldon. So when we got the script of the Walnut Show, everybody read it, and everybody thought, oh, God, that was funny. God, that sounds great, you know. And Sheldon said, you all like it? And we said, yeah, we think it's funny. It's different. It's a dream. We've never done a dream. And he went to each of us. He said, do you like it? Yeah, do you like it? Do you like it? And he threw down the script on the table, and he said, I think it's terrible. I think it stinks. And he walked out. And we said, we all like it. Let's do it anyway.
Do you often still watch the Dick Van Dyke?
Oh, sure.
You still watch it every day, basically?
Yeah,
well, not every day.
What I wanted to tell you is that Friday, when we had a run-through, Sheldon Leonard came down to watch the show, and he said, stank. And he said, I apologize. It's a very funny show. Good luck with it. He says, I was wrong. This is a good show. We shake the big man to say that, you know.
Yeah, it was a very good show. I liked the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah.
And, what else can I say to you? Jeez. So you said your favorite show was that other one. Did you ever have any other ones?
Oh, sure. I had quite a few, but we could sit here all night, you know.
Yeah.
And talk, because there are so many good ones and so many ones that were different than any television show at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Different subjects that we had, things that nobody even thought of writing about at the time.
Okay, Al.
Okay, thank you very much, and I hope I get to see the Dick Van Dyke show more often.
I sure hope you do, because I think you'll enjoy it.
Thanks
sure.
for the call.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Rosemary here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. The book is called Hold the Roses. It's published by University of Kentucky Press. If you have a question for Rose, you have about 12 minutes to go. 7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. For the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa, Hull area, and also the border states, those are the
the numbers to call. Just a quick word for Antico Martini Restaurant, a fine Italian restaurant that's been serving Montrealers for over 25 years. And you know how much I love the veal. If you desire veal, you're not going to find better. I swear it was so good you could taste it before it got off your fork into your mouth. My mouth is watering right now just thinking of the melt-in-your-mouth scallopini. You'll want to try it, and when you do, you'll want to go back again and again and again. Antico Martini Restaurant, the finest in Italian dining, 6450 Summerlid near Cavendish in NDG. For reservations, call 489-6804.
Now more of CJAD's Halter Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
We are talking with Rose Marie. She is the author of her autobiography, Hold the Roses, which is now out. It's published by University of Kentucky Press. And we go to Rob. Hi, you're on CJAD.
Hi.
Hi.
I can't believe I'm talking to you. Listen, we had the Honeymooners and I Love Lucy, and then the Dick Van Dyke Show came along.
Uh-huh.
Watching you and Marty Amsterdam, you know, it was unbelievable because your banter was amazing.
And we enjoyed every minute of it.
I've never seen anything like that before. And I was just wondering, was any of that ad-libbed or was it...
Well, we used to ad-lib at rehearsal, but then when the cameras were going, we'd have to keep it pretty much to the cameras, you know. Because but a lot of it came out from nowhere during rehearsals.
Oh, wow, because you used to bounce off each other.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the first time on any kind of a sitcom that was ever done, and I don't think I've seen it since, really.
No, because there aren't people like that around anymore.
You know, you could actually see the eye contact between the two of you.
How nice of you to say such nice things.
Oh, it's for real, and it's so nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We go to Deville.
You have a lot of sponsors, don't you?
We go to Deville. Hi, you're on CJD.
Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to say thank you so much for the wonderful years that when I was growing up, I would run home from school to watch the Dick Van Dyke Show. Because,
aren't you kind?
Oh, I used to love watching Maury Amsterdam, Rose Marie, and Dick Van Dyke, and Laura, and the whole crew, and it helped me so much because, you know, I came from a family that was split up, and to me, that was the kind of a family that was together, and the laughs that I got out of that helped me through all of these things.
Oh, how very nice of you to say those things.
So
Thank you so much.
For me, it's a dream come true for me to even speak to you because it's like 12, almost 1 o'clock in the morning here.
Yeah, I know.
And I couldn't sleep. I woke up, turned on the radio, and I heard your voice, and I thought, I've got to call to let you know how much I appreciated you.
Well, I thank you so much, and I'm glad I helped you.
So, good luck, and I'm sure to buy the book.
Please do. I think you'll enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Isn't that nice?
The time is almost done, and I didn't get a chance to even talk to you about the 14 years you were on Hollywood Squares, which was another part of your life, which was also very interesting. It must have been fun being on that show as well.
Oh, yes, of course. That was another group of wonderful people to work with. I've been very fortunate. I've only worked with very nice people. I've never had any disagreements with people or arguments or jealousies or anything like that. I've been very fortunate. But, of course, we're talking about almost another generation, you know. The people then were stars. They treated everything differently. Not today. I'm not too thrilled with all the new stars that we have today.
And even the media was a little different. Like I'm sure a lot of people would be surprised to know, in just you talking tonight and talking about your book, that we didn't know a lot about your personal life.
Well, I talk a lot.
but we didn't know a lot about your personal life. Nowadays, you know, I enjoy watching shows like Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood, but sometimes we just get too much information
about
the people we watch. I mean, I'm just thinking back to when you were on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and you say in the last year of the show, your husband passed away.
Yeah.
The mileage they would have gotten out of that
had that some situation happen today.
Yeah, you're right. You're really right, because we were family. And you know, when he passed away that night, Dick and his wife came over here. They were the first ones here at my house.
Yeah.
But we were very close.
And you didn't have the press banging down your door or a situation?
No.
Yeah, it was a different time.
It was a different time. It was a whole different attitude. It's a whole... we appreciated everything we had. I think the kids today are a little wild. And, you know, from nowhere, they're making $1 million an episode. I never made more than $12.50 a week. I never got a raise. I never got a bonus. And I was very happy. You know, today they make $1 million an episode and complain. So, I mean, it's an altogether different show business today. As Mickey Rooney says, show business is dead.
With all that you've had the opportunity to do in your career, is there anything that you didn't get a chance to do?
No, I've done plays. I've done, I did Annie Get Your Gun. I did Call Me Madam. I did a play that was written for me called Up a Tree, which I tried to get into a series, and nobody would buy it. They were afraid it was a little too political. And I've done Broadway. I did Top Banana. I did Spring in Brazil with Milton Berle. I've made movies. It, when you get the book and you see the credits in the back, you'll be amazed. I know I was amazed writing it.
Well,
because I didn't realize one person could do all this.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. As I said, we just skimmed the surface. There's so much more we could talk to you about. It's been fascinating to hear about your career, and I'm glad you had an opportunity to put it into print so that the rest of us can get our hands in it and read it and find out all the things that took place during your life and your career. It's been a pleasure having you on the program.
I thank you so much for being so kind, and it really was a pleasure talking to you and talking to your fans. Please give my love to Montreal, because I love the city.